The topic of prayer. The topic of prayer is just huge. Because every book in the Bible talks about prayer. So where do you start? Let's just pray. Lord, again, we come into your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts through this amazing opportunity that you have given to us. You've given to us access into your throne room, Almighty God. You have asked us to come. And Father, we pray as we come that, Lord, that you might speak to each of our hearts. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've titled my message, Changing the World Through Prayer. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. The family that prays together stays together." Someone has said, "The secret of prayer is prayer in secret." The greatest example that we have of prayer is Jesus. Jesus our Lord, Jesus himself. Before choosing his 12 disciples, Jesus went out into a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus dismissed the multitude, sent the disciples off in the boat, and he went up the mountain to pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to spend major time in prayer, shouldn't I? But prayer isn't easy, is it? Prayer is something that we all really struggle with. Jesus also said, "I do always those things that please the Father." When the disciples saw Jesus' manner of life, together they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we too need Jesus to teach us the discipline of prayer. Most of us know about prayer. I'm probably not going to say anything to you that you don't know. The thing is, we all agree that our prayer life could be stronger. And everyone would say that, even those that were prayer warriors. When my father passed away, I was executor of Dad's will. My response was to carry out his wishes. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 12 and verse, I should say chapter 14 and verse 12, kind of gives us that idea. "I tell you the truth, everyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name." That's a pretty open check, isn't it? I will do everything you ask in my name. I actually had Dad's checkbook to balance his accounts after he left. And that's kind of like what God has done for us. He's given us his checkbook, signed by Jesus Christ, and we are to pray in his name. Now, that doesn't mean what it sounds totally like, because in the next chapter, in John chapter 15 and verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. So as we are in God's will and his word is in us, then we're going to be asking what Jesus would have us to ask. And he will give it. And so then, how shall we pray? Well, we should pray in whose name? Jesus' name. And what should we pray? There are many definitions of prayer. Prayer is to the soul what breath is to the body. Prayer is communication with the living God of heaven. Prayer is our conversation with Jesus, so that we should be listening at least 50% of the time. And so listening and speaking is something that I had to take note of and say, okay, Lord, I think I'm a little bit out of balance here. I think I talked too much. Prayer is petitioning God's throne. Prayer is accessing our spiritual power through the Holy Spirit. And we see that enacted in the early church in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we have this account of the early church. And when they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage? And they're quoting Psalm 2. And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of earth have taken their stand, and rulers together have gathered against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And they did what your power, and will had decided beforehand and what should happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. It was an earthquake of prayer. There was a shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When God's people come together, they come together and can come together in one accord. And that's wonderful and that's powerful. And we see that happening. And what happened was that the early church grew almost exponentially. And the prayer is access to God. Access to the Father is made possible by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, giving us access into his presence 24/7. That's amazing, because the Jewish people only had access into his presence once a year on the Day of Atonement. And so now we have access to God anytime, anywhere, any place. And that certainly is amazing. When should we pray? Well, this is always, and it is a hard thing. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is hard. When should we pray? In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, pray continuously, giving thanks in all circumstances. That's another tough one. To pray in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In our homes, and with our spouses, and with our children, we talk. It's to happen when we lie down, when we get up, when we walk in the way. Prayer is also something that we can gain confidence in and have that kind of communication with God. Short words, short sentences. In fact, there are a few long prayers in the Bible. The prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, if you read it, and you don't even have to read it fast, it will take you about a half a minute. So prayer is something that we do and do short. In Our Daily Bread, a few years ago, the writer suggested how to carry on our daily reading in God's Word with this prayer. It's an acrostic, and you know it. A is adoration. We are to praise, worship, and adore the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. We are to glorify the Father by exalting His holy name. C is we are to confess. Confess what? 1 John 1, 9 says we are to confess our sin so that we can remain and continue on in fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers. So if we confess our sin, what does it say? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. When we confess our sin, we are brought back into fellowship. We confess the things that we know, and God forgives what we've confessed and the things that we don't know about ourselves. Then the next one is T. T is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is seen much in the Psalms. We can read Psalm 100. We are to enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. We are to be thankful to Him. As believers, we are to bless His holy name. In Psalm 91, Psalm 95, Psalm 34, and we have all these psalms of praise. So we are to be a people of thanksgiving. We are to celebrate Thanksgiving Day every day so we can be a thankful people. It changes us and it changes our attitude. Then S is supplication. We are to always pray for others. Who should we pray for? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. If you have your Bibles, just flip to that. First Timothy chapter 1 and 1 is broken down beautifully. We are to use all kinds of prayers. We are to pray for everyone. So, wow. That's cool. It says, I urge, therefore, requests, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for everyone, for all men, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Have you listened to the news this week? Or last week, or last 2 weeks, can you think of anybody you'd like to pray for so that things won't go too far in the world? We are to pray for those in authority so that we might live a quiet and a peaceful life. When we look at prayer, we think of friends, we think of family, we think of others, but do we think of people that we can count on to pray for us? Moses, when the children of Israel went into war against the Amalekites, Moses told Joshua to go and choose out a number of men and go and make war against the Amalekites. And as long as Moses' hands were being held up, the Israelites were winning. But have you ever tried to hold your hands up for several hours? You can't do it. And so Moses called alongside Aaron and Hur, and they stood under his arms and held his hands up until the going down of the sun. We need that kind of people because our hands get tired. And we need people that have our back and pray for us and pray that we can keep going. We have people like missionaries that rely on our prayers. But what about us? We need people to pray for us. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What is he knocking on? It's our heart's door, right? And he's wanting to come in, and then we give the space over to Jesus. And then we can relax as Jesus enters our heart. And there's a Norwegian theologian of years gone by, and he takes that verse as the great invitation of prayer in the book of Revelation, that we can allow Jesus to come in. And if we abide in him and his word abides in us, we can ask what we will, and he'll give it to us. So we have prayer as an invitation. Pardon me a minute. Is it possible that prayer can change the world? Or doesn't God know ahead of time? So if God knows ahead of time, why should we pray? Right? I want to read a little story. I have a number of books on prayer. I have some excellent books on prayer. This one is Touching the World Through Prayer. And I kind of changed the title because I kind of made it Changing the World Through Prayer. I shall never forget the 2 weeks period in India. And this is before I ever went to India. Many years ago, I felt a continuing prayer burden for our son. It came to a climax one Sunday afternoon when I was alone in our house, so lost in prayer for him that for a while I did not notice the passing of time or the existence of space. And as I prayed on and on, it suddenly seemed that I was kneeling beside John with my hand on his shoulder praying for him. I knew not how long I prayed or what I said, but I know my arm of prayer had spanned the land and ocean for thousands of miles, and my hands were on John's shoulder. Have you ever thought of prayer as our, the Christian's, intercontinental ballistic missile that we can drop in any land at any time and change that land forever? It was as real as if I were by his side. Then assurance came, and I rose from my knees and later gave my Sunday evening message. Because of missionary responsibilities, I did not find opportunity to write John till after lunch the following afternoon. And I went to my office and was sitting at my typewriter. Dear John, I wrote, I don't know what this means to you, but I am sure it means something. For days I have been having a special prayer in concern for you. And yesterday afternoon, as I was kneeling in my bedroom, I suddenly seemed I was kneeling by your side with my hand on your shoulder. And I was just ready to write the second paragraph when at the door, the doorbell rang. I went to the door and found a messenger from the telegraph office. He handed it to me by cable. I stepped inside, closed the door, and opened the cable. It read, God is my captain. Quiet but sure decision. Thanks for heritage, love, and prayers, John. The reason I read it is because I went to school with John. He went to Greenville College, and after I went to Emmaus, I went to Greenville College. I met John. He was an activist in the Macon March in Alabama before Martin Luther King lost his life. So I got to know John, and I mean, he was another fellow on campus, but still, I can see his face. And when I read that, it stopped me because it was years later. And I said, yeah, I know John. And then I looked at the author, John Duell, right? That's his dad. And I knew his dad was a missionary in India. Can we change the world through prayer? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And can we claim our kids for Christ? Oh, yes, we can. And there is such a thing as prevailing prayer. We can prevail in prayer. Are we pushing and twisting God's arm? No. No, we're not. God wants, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's 2 Peter 3 and 9. It's God's will that everyone in the world come to faith in his Son. It says he is not willing that any, not one, should perish. So then who is? If God isn't willing that any should perish, who is? Well, Satan would. Satan would lead everyone to away from Christ and entering his kingdom. And then there's somebody else. There's three to cast their vote. God in heaven, Jesus, Satan, and that person, right? So we need to spend our time asking God to soften their heart so that the one who's knocking at their heart's door can enter and save them for how long? For all of eternity. Wow. So we can change the world through prayer. It's the most powerful weapon that we have. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, through the tearing down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So our challenge is, let's lay hold on God for our kids, for our neighbors. Yes, they can say no. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Yes, they can say no. Yes, they can say no. And God will honor people that say no. But we don't need or want anything to come between us so that God won't hear our prayer. Are there hindrances to prayer? Yes, there are. And I'd like just to point out some of the places in Scripture that says that there are hindrances to prayer. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I hold sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God says, I don't want to hear you until you take care of this. And so the thing to do is get that straightened out, right? So Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, we can stop prayer by fostering sin in our heart. 1 John 1 and 9 is, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 is another passage that you can look up. What keeps us from receiving prayer answers? One is that we never ask. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. So if we don't ask, God wants us to ask, right? A-S-K. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And somebody has said that that's a steps at more and more commitment. We can ask and somebody comes to know the Lord. We can ask and nothing happens. And then we have to seek. We have to maybe seek those people out and be more prevailing and more determined in our prayer. And then there's knocking. We don't let them off our prayer list. It says that George Mueller had four people on his prayer list, and he prayed for one, and he came to know the Lord right away. He kept praying, and the second one, after 10 years, came to know the Lord. And finally, after he passed away, the final one came to know the Lord that was on his prayer list. So, do you have a prayer list? That's good. We need to be praying for people. And when we see those people come to know the Lord, then what a wonderful thing to be able to say, all right, check. So prayer is such a tremendous topic. We could have a whole month of prayer topics, but we're not going to. But one of the things that is true of this church is one of our values is prayer, prevailing prayer. It is the first step in everything that we do. When we send missionaries out, you'll see people being called up for us to pray for them. And I think that now we should be getting people onto our team to pray for us, because we do need prayer. We need to be lifted up, and we need that encouragement. So the Bible says, pray for one another. And let's do that. Our time is gone, and there's a lot of other great passages that we haven't even touched on. Lord, we just thank you. You have said in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, we know that we are to forgive one another, as the Lord's Prayer says. And Lord, help us to be forgiving people. And Lord, there are people that we need to forgive. Help us to be those that initiate that. Lord, we thank you for our church body. And Lord, we thank you for the far-reachingness of this church body. And we pray for all our missionaries. And we thank you for the safety that you brought. to the Louis in the face of a terrible storm. Lord, we thank you that you're able to take us through terrible storms in our life. And Lord, we just ask, make us praying people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 7 and verse 13 and 14. I don't really believe at all in global warming. I might just as well declare that right now. But I do believe in prayer. And 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 13 and 14. It's possible that we, through prayer, humble prayer, can touch history. This passage says, when I shut up heaven, that's God speaking, so that there is no rain, well, we haven't had that problem, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. The great promise, it should be in every farmer's almanac. But it should be in all of our farmer's almanacs, because we all depend on you folks, every one of us. And God will heal our land if we call upon him and turn to him and turn away from what we're doing wickedly. That's a promise.